Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Cool. So we're on right now with Paul Clifford, the creator of Kudani and designer and Kudani Leads and headliner and just all sorts of really, really cool tools that you can use to automate and build out your content plan with your business. So we've got some really cool things that we're going to dive in with Paul. So thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
Hey, I really appreciate being on the show. Thanks for that.
Yeah, awesome. So let's just talk about your business just for a second. So you've built a business around sort of automation tools, and I think kind of with a focus on content marketing, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, content marketing, as is experiencing explosive growth because, you know, finally everyone's realizing that, you know, you've just got to create really good content to get more traffic, and it's evergreen. And it's not just, you know, marketers like us, it's all the big brands. They're all doing it as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the problem is, you know, how do you speed up the process? Because whenever you talk to anyone about content, they go, oh my God, that means I got to write, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, that's where everything starts slowing down. So what we've done as a business is really just focus on, you know, how to speed up lots of different areas within content marketing using, you know, tools and technologies that, you know, obviously don't generate spammy stuff, but just speed up, you know, a lot of the processes in creating content, in sharing, and getting traffic, you know, to your business.
How would, I guess if you can quickly sum it up in just maybe a minute or so, what are the steps that you would recommend someone who doesn't have a content marketing presence? What should they do to kind of kick that off and get some traction?
Assuming they've got a blog.
Yeah. Let's assume they have a website.
And everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. The core thing that we find, when you look at your step one, okay, is to look at your website or your blog or whatever it is and make sure it's actually a lead machine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most people, what they do is that they'll buy a domain name and they'll install WordPress and they'll install the best looking theme that they can find. Mm-hmm. And then off they go. Now, there's one big step that's missed out, and that is, like, you know, this is not a business card anymore. Okay. Your website's not a business card. Your website is a lead machine. So all your content marketing activities have to drive traffic and turn that traffic into leads. Because if you haven't got the lead, then you haven't got anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that's where we tell people to focus on. And so we tell people to then focus on, make sure it's fast. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you've got, you know, all your call to actions, your phone number on there, your address is on there. Make it look authentic. Any business trust logos or anything like that you've got, put that on there.
Testimonials.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to imagine that you're a shop, right? And you've got a shop window, and you need people to come in through the shop door. And they're not going to do that unless they're looking at the window and you think, is this a business that I trust? Mm-hmm. Okay, because they're cold. They don't know you, right? The web is full of scammers and dodgy websites. So you have to make sure it looks really professional. It's got trust icons and symbols everywhere. It's got testimonials. It's got a real phone number and all that sort of stuff. Then what you need to do is make sure that you have a good opt-in plugin on the website. And so, in other words, you're able to capture leads in a really efficient way.
Yep.
So, you know, you need to have, for example, you know, on every blog post, it needs to have a call to action, you know, that at least says, you know, download our 10 tips to success or whatever your lead magnet is. If you can do the content upgrade like we talked earlier, then that's even better. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're just starting out, you probably just want to get something, some kind of lead magnet and an opt-in form up and running that looks good and looks professional. And you want to, you know, take advantage of all the places where you can put that opt-in form on the site. Okay. So, you know, you have pop-ups, but then you also have scroll-ups. So as you scroll down a blog post, you know, there's a little area bottom right hand corner that can pop up and ask for an email there. Yeah.
Yep.
There's the top bar at the top of the screen. Yeah, you can ask for that there. You know, there's lots of different positions that you should be using to put your opt-ins. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, we have a product called Kodani Leads that has all six of those optimum positions all built in. Yeah. So you just need to set it up once and you're up and running. So that's like the whole, that's where you need to start. You know, you have to get, you know, the wheels on the car. You got to make sure the engine is all oiled up and ready to go before you send any traffic. Okay. Before you set off on your journey. Yeah.
Yep.
So then once you've got your lead machine, then you need to start thinking of, you know, a couple of things. So first of all, you know, generating content itself. You know, we've talked about curation, and I think that's one of the great areas to start. But depending on your business, you should aim to do at least one unique piece per month. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's really specific to your knowledge, to what you're trying to sell. And so that requires some effort, right? So you need to sit down and think about that and, you know, put together at least one thought-provoking piece. Now, where do you come up with ideas? Well, you can do you can come up with ideas from, for example, your frequently asked questions, okay? So people will ask your business questions all the time. So you can, you know, take that list and turn that into a good piece of content. You could create what's called a should ask question list.
Those are the best.
So in other words, yeah. So the types of questions your customers should be asking you, but sometimes are afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, often that could be around things like pricing or trust or things like that. Or, you know, for example, it could be like the 10 things you should ask a plumber before hiring them. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So that kind of thing, that always works. Okay. And you know, that kind of content works really, really well. And of course, you know, something like that makes an excellent lead magnet too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, those are the types of things you should be thinking of in terms of creating content. The next thing is you need to be regular. Yeah. So you need to do it on a regular basis. So whatever that is, if you can do it once a week, then stick to once a week. Right. If you can do it once a day, then do it once a day. But don't get too ambitious, okay, because, you know, you might think, right, I can definitely do this once a day, but like after a month's gone by, you think, God, this is becoming a drag now, right?
Right.
So, you know, maybe start with once a month or twice a month and then work up that way around, yeah?
I love it.
And then, you know, once you've done that, you know, once you start, you know, planned out what you want to do there, you've got to think about promoting it, yeah? Because, you know, you can be producing the best content out there, but not getting any traffic. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, you've got social promotion, and there's a good technique, you know, which I talk about in my book and everything about hashtags and, you know, in social, you know, often when you create a new Twitter account, you've got no followers, right? So how do you get followers? Mm-hmm. So there's the old follow someone else and they'll follow you back. You know,
that's trick. Yeah,
that old trick. It's not as effective as it used to be, but you know, it still does work to some degree. Secondly, use hashtags on your tweets. Yeah, and I don't mean the hashtags that are meaningless, like, you know, hashtag I am amazing. Okay, you need to use a hashtag that actually has traffic. Yeah, so if you use a hashtag like hashtag SEO, yeah.
Yep.
That hashtag has traffic. So people are searching on that hashtag for tweets.
And I believe there's some websites to help you find what hashtags are popular out there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a good one called RightTag.
RightTag. Okay.
Yeah. Have you heard of that? So it's RITETAG, RightTag.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, we use that same strategy on Instagram right now, trying to get Instagram followers. It seems like hashtags are a quicker way to get followers than even going around and following other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because the follow me, you know, follow you, follow me strategy, I mean, it's old hat, and most people know that now.
And yeah. I also feel you end up getting a ton of bots and people that that aren't paying attention to their Twitter accounts anymore. Because there's so much automation out there to just follow back and stuff like that. So I feel like there's a lot of people out there that if you follow them, they just have automated tools that'll follow you back, but they're not paying attention to Twitter.
Totally. You know, and at the end of the day, it's not about just numbers. It's about the quality of the followers, right? Because you want people who are actually interested in what you're going to publish, because once you have that, they're more likely to retweet.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same as email subscribers. I mean, it doesn't matter how big your list is. It's how, what the quality of that, how responsive and how they take action.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the hashtag method will probably get you better quality followers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people who will actually respond to your tweets.
Love it. That's perfect. And that's an awesome, just simple progression that anyone can take and get the wheels turning. And I love it. I mean, that's pretty much the base of any business online. And like we said, brick and mortar can use this, newbie or not newbie. You can outsource it all if you wished.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And then.
Yeah, absolutely. So real quickly, let's list off some of the tools that your company has out there right now. And then we'll kind of talk about them each individually and how people can leverage them to sort of automate various things in their business.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, our sort of main mothership, if you like, is called Qdani. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what that does is it's like a complete content marketing platform. It helps you come up with ideas and create content through techniques like curation. And then what it can do is like automate a lot of the promotion, you know, of that content that you've all put together. So that's like our big platform. And then around that, there are lots of other tools that we've created. So, for example, one of them is called Designer. Mm-hmm. So that's design with two R's at the end. And that helps people repurpose blog content into an ebook or a lead magnet in marketing terms so that you can increase your opt-ins on your blog. And we also have, you know, a tool that goes into your blog, into WordPress specifically, that helps you create opt-in forms that look really, really good. Okay, so that's how you can marry lead magnets that have been created from Designer. You can then put them into our opt-in tool, which is called Qdani Leads, onto your blog, and that's obviously then going to grow your list, so you can then market to them. And then another problem that many people have in content marketing is like coming up with the ideas, specifically coming up with headlines, because as you all know, you know, it's the headline and the quality of the headline that generates clicks, that generates the attention. And you know, when you're sitting there writing an email or a blog post or some form of copy, you know, on a blank screen, sometimes it's really hard, right, just to come up with something that's going to work. And so we created a really sweet little tool called Headliner that sits in your browser, and you can just type in a keyword and it will come back with hundreds and hundreds of headline suggestions that are all sort of based around proven templates. So, you know, there's a few other tools as well, but those are kind of the main ones that we have a lot of success with and our customers, you know, really, really enjoy using.
That's very cool. And yeah, we've had the pleasure of using all of those, I believe.
I don't think I've ever used Headliner, but the rest I think I've played with.
Headliner, I believe, is in Qdani as well, right, Paul?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But it's also a standalone tool that, you know, anyone can use within Google Chrome.
Yeah, that's I have used it before within Qdani, and it's amazing. And you could use it for, you know, some bullet points if you wished as well. But so you could take the automation out of some copywriting, or at least get you on the right path. Mm-hmm. But from our experience, just for our listeners here, we've used Designer extensively. Probably out of all those tools, that's been like our bread and butter. When we started out our content marketing agency, that was probably the go-to tool out of, like, you know, other than like an autoresponder that we used almost daily.
Yeah. And I mean, still to this day, I think every time we make a new blog post, step one, write the blog post. Step two, plug it into Designer.
Right. And I love your headline at designer.io. Is create stunning ebooks and lead magnets in 30 seconds without ever writing a single word. And it's absolutely true. And
so it's almost a play on words, isn't it?
Because, right?
I mean, obviously you had to write the words originally. But, you know, the point is you can repurpose that without doing any more work.
Yeah. So talk about a little bit on, let's focus on Designer really fast and talk about some of the, the key handful of things that people can use that and save a boatload of time.
Sure. Well, you know, that all came about because we were doing what you guys do in that we were creating lead magnets for our blogs. And you know, we were trying to outsource them, and they were taking like a week to get done.
Right.
You know, it's not simple as print to PDF, or, you know, even copy and paste just becomes like really hard work, especially when you want to put images and good cover pages and everything on it. You know, all of a sudden, you know, something that appears to be quite quick and easy, it actually becomes a real drag.
Right.
And, you know, and that's where we came up with the idea. And so essentially, you know, with Designer, you can just point it to a blog post, you know, give it the URL, and it will then transform that, you know, into a really good online book. But what it does, it strips out everything on your blog that you don't want in a book. So in other words, you don't want any, you know, website navigation, you don't want any sharing icons, you don't want any adverts and all the other stuff, right, that's on a website. So it strips all that out and then puts it all in like an online editor. So you can tweak and tailor, put your own cover images on, insert images within the content, or, and change the look and feel within a few clicks. Yeah. And then once you're ready to go, you can click publish, and that will generate a PDF, which you can use as a lead magnet. You can even generate a .mobi file and upload it to Amazon now, you know, and put it on the Kindle store. And, you know, we're working on being able to import from other PDFs. So, for example, you might have an old white paper or something that just looks boring and it's in PDF format. And what you can do is suck that into Designer and give it a whole new look. Yeah. So within a few seconds, you can give it a complete refresh.
And, I love it. And that's something from our experience doing our content marketing agency. We would... you know, we want to produce a lot of these, but really before Designer, it was a time constraint, like you said, a money constraint, of course. And I would say on average, we would probably have spent minimum $50. That's on a very, very cheap and, you know, almost a Fiverr kind of look, up to 150 or more bucks for a good size PDF. And, and with Designer, definitely, you know, you're getting, I wouldn't say, you know, you're not going to get the high class, you know, graphic design, but at the end of the day, that's not the purpose of this. You're going for value and content, and you could doctor it up later if you wish.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, one of the really effective techniques with growing your list is, and this is always surprising, but every test shows this to be true. And that is, you know, if you create a lead magnet of the specific blog post and make that as your opt-in lead magnet for that page. Mm. So, you know, the call to action is something like this. It's something like, you know, put the call to action like halfway through the blog post and make it, hey, if you want to download this this blog post or this article as a PDF, you know, click here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the opt-in process. And so they kind of call that in the industry, we call that a content upgrade. But, you know, that process really, really works. And you get more opt-ins per page doing that than just having a generic lead magnet for the whole blog.
Yeah. You know, I've found that the very same thing with my blog posts. I've always kind of tried to make blog posts into PDF versions, put an opt-in on the site, and then I always use the wording that something to the effect of, would you like to download a printable PDF version of this? I like to use printable because it kind of tells people, like, look, this blog post you're reading right now, you can download something that's going to be more tangible that you can print out and read, you know, away from a computer. And that, for whatever reason, seems to get pretty good opt-in rates. You know, I've tested sort of sidebar opt-ins that are unrelated to the blog post, and, you know, you probably get less than 1% opt-in on them. But when I do this method where I literally create a PDF version of the blog post and ask people if they want to opt in for a printable version, I get anywhere from 3% to 7% opt-in on those blog posts.
Right, exactly. You know, it really, really works. And I think it's because, you know, people want the, you know, it's all about time, right? And so people think, hey, you know, this is really good blog post, but I just haven't got the time to, you know, to spend another 10 minutes reading through it. And funnily enough, people would rather download it to the, you know, the local laptop or, you know, MacBook or whatever it is, rather than bookmark it, you know, because I think it's just this feeling that they've actually got it now, you know, they've done the work and they've actually got it on their hard disk, so they know that they've got it like a reference.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's kind of funny because there was like some psychological studies at one point about buying books, and people who buy books but don't read them, you know, there's like some sort of, I don't know, like dopamine release just by buying the book.
Oh, yeah.
And then you feel smarter by owning that book even if you never read it. And I think there's like some similar psychology going on where people download it and go, cool, I have that now on my computer to reference at some point if I ever need to. But we know damn well that probably 50% of those people are probably never going to open that thing again. But hey, we got them on our list, right?
I got to put my hand up. I'm guilty of that sometimes as well. You know what I mean?
I was just having this talk with my wife last night. I got this this book in the mail, and I do it the same with online stuff. But I wanted to spend my evening doing that, and she wanted to hang out, watch shows. I'm like, yeah, but I'm so excited, I got this book. And I'm like, even if I just read two pages, I'm like, oh yes, it feels so good.
It's like, yeah, Amazon becomes a hobby, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I got all these, like, especially the beginning of the year, I've got all these entrepreneurial books, these are going to make me so much smarter, so much more productive. You know, just buying them is going to make me a much better entrepreneur.
Yeah. I need to learn Tai Lopez's tricks to read like 10 books in a day.
Yeah. While I'm looking at Matt, and he's got a whole bookshelf of just like, it's packed with probably a good 200 books.
I've read all of those. No, it happened.
But. So, Paul, I got a question, because Matt and I have already put a book together, and what we've done is kind of take a kind of page out of your strategies, but also, you know, kind of out what we've done, but we've kind of curated, or we've piled up all the blog posts we've produced, and basically are going to create multiple books and different topics, you know, different themes. Is there a way that people can, or I guess describe how someone can more or less scrape their blog and maybe create a book in a kind of a quick fashion? Because we kind of did it manually, you know, we copy and pasted and, and did
so,
all that.
So, you know, obviously you can get started by taking the URL of the first blog post, and that helps set up and create your project. But, you know, there's a really cool feature where, you know, as soon as you've done one, you can then drag in another URL for another post, you know, and then you can do that again and again and again. And of course, you know, all the styling that you set up for your first one is all maintained. Yeah. So, you know, that's how you do it. And we even include like a table of contents builder. So, you know, once everything's in there, and you've got your headers defined.
Sure.
Then you can just, there's literally is one click and it's page numbered. And, you know, there's like two more clicks and it creates and inserts your table of contents for you.
That's funny. Joe's just shaking his head over here, like thinking about how much work he's put into this thing.
I'm literally like, And I knew we had designer and everything. And yeah, I should have just talked to you. I should have called you up.
One other thing I want to kind of veer off on with designer a little bit is designer makes, you know, a great lead magnet content upgrade for your blog post. But one thing Joe and I have found is that designer is actually a pretty good tool for SEO and actually, you know, getting new people to discover you as well. We've actually noticed that when we take our blog posts, convert them into PDFs, and then upload them to places like SlideShare or SpeakerDeck, or I think another one we found was called Issue, ISSU.
Yeah, there's a whole list of them. Yeah.
We have a big list of about 10 that every time we write a blog post, we take that blog post, convert it to a PDF, and then put it on all sorts of different platforms. And we're finding that a lot of times those platforms will rank really, really, really fast. So let's talk about that for a second and all of the other ways you can use these PDFs other than just, you know, just as a lead magnet, because, you know, I want to give our listeners some sort of like action steps, takeaways, like stuff that they can do. So if they take a blog post and they convert it to a PDF, what are some various things they can do with that PDF other than using it as an opt-in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you touched on, you know, some of the most powerful ones, you know, uploading to SlideShare and all those kind of sites. And, you know, we've actually got all our customers, they get a book from us that shows them all the sites they can do that to.
Oh, that's good.
But what you're talking about is you're using the domain authority of those sites to rank the URL of your ebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you, you know, can upload to Issue, for example. I haven't used Issue myself, but let's assume they're all the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you can probably upload to Issue, and the URL for Issue that your blog, that your PDF sits on, you know, you can SEO optimize that. So put a few keywords that are relevant to your topic and everything. And that will automatically start ranking because the issue, you know, core domain has so much authority straight away. And so you're going to start picking up traffic from that. You know, it's not, you know, the floodgates aren't going to open from one of these, mm-hmm. you know, but if you do like 10 of them, you're going to get like 10 times lots of trickles. And the great thing is that content is super targeted. That traffic is super targeted, you know, because the chances are they've already gone through the ebook, they've read something, and now they're, you know, they're clicking through and they're going to your site and they're already educated, you know. So they're already primed and pre-sold on, you know, what you're delivering. So the quality of that traffic, even though it's not humongous, is like really, really focused and niched on what you're delivering. So it's great mm-hmm. quality traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've actually found that with a few keywords that we've been going after as far as an SEO perspective, a few keywords, we almost own the entire front page of Google for them because it's got our blog post. It's got a PDF version of a blog post at SpeakerDeck. It's got a PDF version of our blog post on SlideShare, you know, and we own half of the first page of Google because of all the different places that keyword optimized content is located.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, and what you're talking about, or if we look at the umbrella phrase for that, is, you know, we're talking about repurposing content. And, you know, the book that I put together called Content Marketing for Dummies, that explains that. And it explains how to, like, segment content and repurpose it. Because, you know, we're talking about PDFs, but you could even do videos as well. Right. Mm-hmm. And rank mm-hmm. that in YouTube. So then you really have got like the whole of page one of Google. And even images. Yeah. So when you're putting images on your blog, you know, you need to make sure your alt tags and even the name of the image itself, you know, has some relevant keywords in it. And that will get you traffic. So, you know, the whole technique nowadays with SEO is to focus on these tiny little pockets of traffic. They're using various different techniques, and you know, all the little pockets of traffic all add up, you know, over time to tons of traffic. Yeah, because as you know, we can't possibly rank for short keywords nowadays. Yeah, right. It just doesn't work. So, you know, focusing on these long tail keywords with little trickles of traffic. That is, you know, the technique, and that's the way to do it. And it's all through repurposing your core article.
And in a big, I guess, a little case study that we can even teach on here is we implemented this initially with a client of ours that basically had a bunch of had a bunch of blog posts already, and we were writing other blog posts, but we essentially curated them or repurposed them with Designer, and then like Matt was saying, we put them all over the place. And this was a very competitive, it was a brain center that we were working with. So they were going for actually some pretty big keywords in the medical niche that were very competitive. But we were able to eventually start growing the ranks faster than their own blog posts. Right. And the referral traffic, that's what we were kind of gauging it on. And what's beautiful is in Google Analytics, you can see where these sites are, you know, which ones are sending the traffic. It's a little bit more targeted. Obviously, you can probably drop some links and stuff like that, UTM codes. But it was amazing because there was a definite time where they didn't have all these referral leads coming in. And then all of a sudden, we just stayed consistent every week. And that referral traffic amounted to something big for him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Let's shift gears just for a second here and let's talk about Kudani, because, you know, we're big on automation and figuring out how to automate as many processes as possible. We've had a previous interview with Aaron Fletcher, and he kind of walked us through this method of, you know, either kill, automate, or delegate. Either get rid of something that you don't like doing, automate it, or delegate it. And with Kudani, that you can actually automate a lot of the processes around content marketing. So let's talk real quick about what sort of things that you can automate with Kudani.
So first of all, you know, Kudani is a big platform. It does a lot, but let's just focus on just a couple of things that mm-hmm. really make a big difference to people. First of all, the creation of content. Okay. You know, one of the big things that people struggle with is, you know, what do I write about? Yeah. And the reason that they're asking that is really like, how do I know what I'm writing about is going to work? How do I know if it's actually going to get traffic, likes, and shares? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we like surface other content that's already getting traction. Okay. So you can type in a keyword and we'll show the type of content that's already being shared and, you know, already getting traffic. And what you can do then is model that content for your own post. Okay. Mm. And, you know, Kidani helps you do this through curation. So you can take excerpts from this content, you know, and it helps you attribute the source and everything. So you can end up, you know, with a good, you know, 2000 word article made up of some of your own content and some curated content. But the great thing is, you know, it's going to work because, you know, you've molded it from a headline and a topic that's already getting traction in the market. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that, you know, that cuts a huge amount of time out of the content creation process. And then the other side of it, you know, once you've created a blog post, what people always forget to do is promote that content, okay? And I don't mean initially, okay? So once you've published a post, you know, right, you, first thing you think about is, okay, I've got to share it on Twitter, I've got to put it on my Facebook page, you know, and
yeah, LinkedIn, all those
email
other
my list. Yeah. You know, all those sorts of things. Obvious, right? But the thing is, that's it then. And that's where people stop, okay? And they think, right, let's move on to the next blog post. And the secret really is re-promoting your old content, okay? Because, you know, if you look at Twitter, for example, the, you know, the lifespan, you know, of a tweet is probably like 10 seconds. Okay. So, you know, you're going to get all your traffic in that 10 seconds and then that's it. It's dead. Yeah. So, you know, what you need to do is re-promote that blog post over and over again. The problem is, and even though people know that, they forget, you know, you never get around to it and you're never going to go, right, what shall I do today? I know I'm going to go and reshare all the content on my blog. Okay. So, in Kidani, what we enable you to do is like build a template of all your Facebook pages and your Twitter accounts and things like that. And this template kind of says, for this blog post, yeah, promote it to Twitter, you know, twice a week this week, and then in a month's time promote it once a week, but then keep doing that for the next 12 months.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can customize it and set it up however you want. But, you know, the point is that you never have to go and re-promote that post again.
Right.
Yeah, it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, 12 months down the line now, you've now got, you know, 50 blog posts that are all being continually promoted and tweeted and stuff like that, and that's where you get this. Now you look at that traffic and it's like a deluge of traffic, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's more evergreen, it's consistent.
Yeah, exactly. And it just keeps coming. Yeah. And you know, and that's one of the things we automate, you know. I mean, it's just a simple template that we all set up, and obviously there's a lot of technology behind it to make all that work, but you know, once that's done, you can forget about it,
right?
And it really, really works.
And I think what I liked the most with Kidani, because Matt and I have also used that pretty extensively, is the idea generator, more or less, but is discovering new content. And that's exactly what you said. And, you know, there's some ways to do that manually, but it's a pain in the ass. I mean, if using Kidani, one of the most fun things is figuring out, okay, what's actually trending for this specific keyword or for my niche, and does it have the ability to actually get shared? Is it interesting? And you can pretty much model someone already. You're leveraging. And it's all about leverage. That's what this tool is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, we're able to do it. And there's so many other features. And that's where you don't want to get too deep. Yeah. You know, but
well, I'll talk into my favorite feature real quick in this. So I really like the whole curation thing, because I actually think that curating is probably one of the best ways to get your blog out there, get your blog noticed. If you're going around and finding other content that you find that's, you know, if you find other content and post it, you know, you come up with really good posts, and the people that you're talking about tend to share it. So it kind of actually helps you create traffic because the people that you're curating tend to want to share the fact that somebody else is talking about them. Hmm. So we do a lot of curated posts, and we've actually started shifting most of our agency clients away from unique posts and into more curated posts, because we're actually finding that the curated posts are getting more traction. They're getting more social shares. They're getting more, they're actually ranking on in SEO. They're, you know, we're actually getting a ton more traffic when we write an article that's like piece together 10 curated posts. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems to work really, really well for us and our clients. And the fact that Kudani actually has this kind of thing built in where you can, it'll actually hunt the web for you for content to curate. To me, that's my favorite feature of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, and it's a good technique because at the end of the day, there's so much content on the web. And there's so much unique content being produced every day that, you know, your readers are just overwhelmed, right? And so you're doing them a favor. You're actually helping them out by curating because you're picking out the best pieces of content for them, okay? Yeah. You're doing the work, and so you're saving them time as well.
Yeah.
I think that's important for those who are listening here because a lot of people aren't either they've never tried to blog or they've just never really thought about it for their own business, even a brick and mortar. You know, someone can, a coffee shop down the street can completely have their own blog and talk about not only their own coffee, but what other types of roasts are out there, or ways they, you know, they do their barista, you know, milk stuff, their designs. But this, I guess the point of the matter is that it's all about consistency. You can leverage other people's content. There's actually ways that this can be simple to create, but the benefits outweigh, you know, any of this work or the costs that go into it tremendously because of the evergreen factor of the traffic that you get from it.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously big fans of curation, so much to the point that we actually do a curated newsletter now that that goes out in email once a week that's all just kind of content that we found from around the web. I think you can grow your brand just as easily through curating content as you can through unique content.
And I will say, Paul, we probably actually got a lot of these ideas from using Kudani and yourself. Because, we definitely weren't into curation or even this repurposing before we used Designer and Kudani.
Yeah.
Not like this is supposed to be a big sales pitch for this. I just want to make that clear. That's not what we're trying to do, but it's...
Although we strongly recommend it.
but it's good that, you know, you're implementing these techniques and you're seeing them work.
Right. And it's quick, too.
Testing and everything like that, you know, because that's also what helps your readers, right? Yeah. You know, because they're thinking about what to do and everything. And when they see that you're actually doing the legwork for them, you know, trying this stuff out and seeing that it does actually work, then you're doing them a service as well, right?
And I guess you could see it both ways. If you had it for your own business or if you wanted to be an agency style, you know, or consultant for folks out there, other businesses, you can completely use this tool and then just start running with it. And that's all you would need, Kudani. So it's amazing. And then with SEO, I know a lot of people think it is a long-term game. But at the end of the day, I think with our client, Matt, and even with some of our own internal projects, usually takes about a month, I would say. You still got to give it some time, but after about a month, you start seeing this referral traffic trickling in, and then you're like, ha ha ha, and it's only up from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very cool. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. So where can people, where do you want to direct people after they listen to this? Where should they go find out more about you and your tools and all you're doing?
Well, they can go, so if they're looking at repurposing blog content into eBooks, go straight to designer.io. So that's design followed by the two R's .io. And they can do a free trial there. There is also Kudani.com. And if you go there, then you can get straight into all the content marketing loveliness that we've been talking about.
Awesome. And we'll link all that up on our show notes and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Cool, Paul. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.